gentlemen, are you ready to rock? Won't you please welcome Beavis and
Beavis? That's not how it goes.
Cool.
So, like, here's one we just wrote.
Welcome to Crespo Disco number 17. 17. Crespo Discos. Ahora. Yo soy un... I can't...
And that's all the Spanish you know.
That's the extent of the Espanol. I'm your host, Chris Crespo. Hang out with Juicy Cockburn Drew.
I know even less Espanol.
You know Espanol.
I know kitchen Espanol.
Cocina. Mm-hmm. That's all you need to know. Baño.
I don't want to say hot, bathroom, beers.
Caliente. Baño cervezas.
Exactly.
Hot bathroom beers. If this were not a Crespo Disco, the name of the show would be Hot Bathroom Beers. In parentheses, the show would be called Hot Bathroom Beers. That makes no sense.
Yeah.
But that is what it's going to be called. Welcome to Crespo Disco for March.
March.
What you're listening to right now is some 90s rock, that Corrosion of Conformity.
Yeah.
Man.
Very southern.
We're doing a 90s rock show. That sounds funny. No, we're not doing a 90s rock show. We're doing a show about 90s rock music. 90s rock show. So
Beardo and the Stash.
Beardo on Headbangers Ball.
And the Stash.
No, we're doing 90s rock, and Corrosion of Conformity is one of the ones that almost made my five. Because it was like, because this album in particular, Deliverance, I listened to the shit out of it. I think I went through like at least three of my tapes got caught up in Walkmans and the tape got pulled. I had to get it again, and which I always did because I loved it. I have a feeling this episode is going to be almost more about all the bands that came close to making it.
Well, I mean,
than the ones that we actually end up picking.
I mean, basically. Well, right. I mean, I picked these so I could also talk about other bands in the genre.
Right.
Because, man, there's just 90. I listened to a lot of music in the 90s. The 90s was... It rivaled the 2000s for the amount of music that I listened to.
Probably because of age, right? It's got to be because of age. A lot of these things came out during very developmental years.
Yes.
Behavioral-wise for us.
Correct.
Culturally speaking, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So it's not like if we did one about the 1930s, it'd be so hard.
That might be kind of rough.
Be like trying to find five songs from the 30s. I guess I'm like, is that a Fitzgerald from the 30s? No, fuck.
Damn it.
No, 90s was a tough one. A little harder than I thought it would be. Right off the bat, I can tell you. So, but I used Corrosion for the intro because ultimately they didn't make the...
Yep.
Ultimately,
didn't
they
make
didn't,
the cut.
Didn't make it because really, that's they've been putting out albums since 84.
Mm-hmm.
They put out like three or four albums before that one, another six or seven since then. They've been around for...
Forever.
And by far, their best album. And it wasn't even like a nostalgia thing or a time I go back and listen to everything now.
No.
It's so, like, everything was just clicking. Mm-hmm. In, I think I was 94.
Yeah.
It was just, like, pow, perfect. Because before that, they were trying to do more speed metal. It was kind of weird. It's like, this isn't really working. And then they did the thing where, like, that album was successful. It had two or three singles on the radio. Back when they actually, you know, put interesting music on the radio. The last days that they used to do that. And they were like, oh, maybe we can try to recapture that southern rock metal thing. And then kept doing that over and over, and it just wasn't working.
You know.
But we'll be talking more about stuff from that time period, because it is the 90s. We're fans of the 90s, some parts of the 90s. Things I listen to, I was like, oh, I like this a lot back in the 90s, and listen to it now. It's like, oh, no. And then other things now, it's surprising how much stuff I listen to. It's like, oh, yeah, that is like
90s.
That 90s sound, the guitar tones, the stylings, the riffs, you know, the way songs are put together. Mm. And then it's weird how there are some bands that I haven't even seen. Let me take a quick look at your five, because I'm about to just mention a band. But you could be on your list already. I don't know. I'm not paying attention to this show.
You don't even know what you're doing.
Are you paying attention to this show?
Barely.
Okay. We talked about this band on a previous episode, which is a big reason why I didn't bother to put it on. But I did go back and do some listening. Korn.
Yeah.
Also, I read recently Korn is doing one of those tours where they play an entire album from start to finish, mm-hmm. and they're doing the first album.
Oh, really?
From 94. Mm-hmm. Discovered a lot of stuff that I really like is from 94. It's like interesting. Developmental.
It was a good year.
Good year. Was it a good year? I think it was a good year, actually. Better than we deserved as people. So I almost went Korn first album, because that Korn album, listen to it now, where does that shit fit in? It's like metal, but it's not like heavy metal. It's heavy metal.
It is. Well, parts of it are really heavy.
Parts of it get really heavy.
But then he goes into that weird scat stuff sometimes.
Didn't do that so much on the first album, I noticed. There's a little bit of that in there, for sure, but it's more of a basic, he comes up with a little phrase and then repeats it over and over in a lot of songs. Almost every song builds up to a part where, like, he says a phrase, but he just, like, says it a couple times. Mm-hmm. And then the music, like, gets heavier, and then he's, like, saying it. Rah! But it is, like, yeah, in his distinct Jonathan Davis growly voice. Mm-hmm. The album's after that. As soon as you start the second album, it's all wah, 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 wah. Yeah. Yeah, immediately. It's like, mm-hmm. come on, dude.
Yeah.
You can even wait for the third album to start.
Hey, at least it's not Disturbed.
No. That's all they got. That's all that guy's got. That's all that guy's got.
So awful.
Yeah, it's terrible. The Korn doesn't fit in it. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird how Korn stands apart from all that stuff from the 90s. Listen to some like Sepultura and Soulfly and stuff like that. But anyway, who wants to start? You want to start? You want me to start?
Whatever.
You want to do it in the order you gave them to me here?
Yeah, that works.
All right, well, then you know what? Yeah, this is perfect. I'll go ahead and start playing this one.
All right. This is Temple of the Dog. It's from 1991. It's off the self-titled album. The only album that they ever did. I mean, it's Temple of the Dog. So,
well, tell some people who don't know. There's some people Temple who don't
of the
know.
Temple of the Dog.
What makes
is
Temple of the Dog exactly so special?
This is the beginning. So Soundgarden still wasn't around yet. Neither was Pearl Jam. What's-his-face? Lead singer. What the hell's his name? I can't think of his name right now.
You guys singing right now?
Yes.
Chris Cornell.
So he was... Yeah, so he's singing... Yeah, it's Chris Cornell. Chris Cornell's singing... two guys...
Mike McCready? Is Mike McCready one of them?
No. Hang on, Chris Cornell. Matt Cameron's on drums.
Which is a Soundgarden drummer.
Yeah. Mike McCready does play guitar on some of the songs here. And on this song specifically, a yet unknown vocalist named Eddie Vedder has a guest spot on it.
Does some backing vocals.
Yeah.
But yeah, Mike McCready is the main guitarist
most of these guys...
And Stone Gossard, too, was a Pearl Jam. And Jeff Barnett.
Yeah. But the bassist and the other guy came from Mother Love Bone.
Mother Love Bone.
Yeah.
So Mother Love Bone came first. And then that broke up. They got with these guys, the Temple of the Dog.
And they did Temple of the Dog for one album. And then after this album came out, Cornell went and did Soundgarden.
With none of those. With the drummer.
With the drummer. And then Eddie Vedder.
The rest of the band went off and made Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
The rest of the entire band is Pearl Jam.
Yeah, pretty much.
And like you said, Eddie Vedder.
Yeah, exactly.
Step up to the
Chris floor. Cornell was like, you know what? I like you guys, but I want to do something else. And Eddie Vedder was like, yo, I can sing.
Yeah.
I did that song with you guys.
Yeah, there's Eddie.
And they made Pearl Jam. Oh, so, man. I mean, this is the love child of the 90s alternative scene. I mean, this is like, in retrospect, it's a super band. But at the time, it was just a bunch of dudes fucking around.
Yeah. Funny, right? fun how that happens. Good stuff.
Yeah, Temple of the Dog. And I mean, that was Hunger Strike. The song's awesome. You may or may not have heard it. It's from 1991.
Okay, you see, I like that you picked Temple of the Dog because
it encompasses a lot of other bands.
See,
now I don't I don't feel bad about not picking Soundgarden or Pearl Jam or Mother Love Bone or, you know,
and the reason
U2.
And the reason why I picked this song is for the same reason. I almost went with just one genre of music to go for one genre of rock. Like a subgenre. And like there's so much more rock, you know?
Yeah.
So I had to pick who. Who would it be? And really it was down to the ones that came to mind immediately are the ones who I considered, right? So it was Soundgarden, mm-hmm. which you already mentioned. Alice in Chains. Mm-hmm. Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
And Nirvana.
Yes.
Were those four. Stone Temple Pilots came to me a little later. I was like, oh, yeah, those guys.
I listen to a lot of Stone Temple Pilots. They are
I listen to a shit ton
list.
Of them. I listen to a shit ton of them.
Yeah, they are on my list.
Okay, great. We can do them next. So of all those, I figured, you know, the one that I'm going to pick to, like, kind of be the poster child for all that stuff is the one dude that hated that shit so much that he killed himself because of it. A little bit of that Nirvana.
Yeah.
Didn't do Smells Like Teen Spirit because that would be disrespectful.
Would it be?
He hated that song so much.
Of course he did.
Nirvana's in the news a lot lately because there's some, there's I think two Nirvana / Kurt Cobain documentaries that have come out or that are coming out. They're getting a lot of press. It's been like, when did, this is off of In Utero. Is this 94? You know, I gotta do all extra drums all the time.
You know,
93.
I really didn't get into Nirvana the way everybody else did.
I mean, not everyone was into them.
Yeah.
Not everyone liked them.
It's not that I didn't like them. I just didn't buy the albums. I didn't listen to them all the time. You know, they weren't in heavy rotation.
Worked well. They were for me. Yeah. Liked them quite a bit. Quite a bit. And it's another one of those things where, you know, of all the stuff I listened to from then, when I listen to it now, it still holds up.
It's Nirvana.
I mean, it sounds... The whole thing about how they sound a lot... They sound like the Pixies a lot. They do a lot of Pixies
stuff.
Yeah,
they kind
of
do.
Know? Got that 80s rock thing going for them. That late 80s, like, you know, the...
Yeah.
Which is where they came from. Like, Bleach and the shit before that is much closer to that stuff than, like, the radio rock that... Like Smells Like Teen Spirit or something.
I mean, the entire album Nevermind is almost played on the radio.
Half the album were singles. That happens. It's weird how that happens with some bands that are not even like shooting for that, and then half the album ends up on the radio. I think that happened more back then.
Yeah.
Doesn't so much happen now. There you go.
That was quick.
Very, but it's a quick one.
Yeah.
I figured, you know, let's just get it out of the way. You know, because we're going to talk about it. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to jump to the one that you mentioned. Because this is pretty awesome.
This is Wicked Garden from 1992 off of the Stone Temple Pilots album Core. The first album.
Yes.
I mean, I prefer Purple, but the good songs on Core are really good. And the bad songs are really bad.
That's the thing with a lot of this stuff. Oh. Sorry, Google. Google wanted me to do something. Yeah. I was like, no, I'm not
the sure. Bad songs are really bad, so... I mean, Purple is definitely the more listenable album, like, from start to finish.
Uh-huh.
But the good songs on Core are fucking amazing.
They're great.
I mean, Wicked Guard, this song is so good.
Makes me want to move my head. Like,
well, yeah, like
Scott Wilder
did.
Yeah, so he does
that whole thing, yeah. Uh-huh, yeah. Got his cowboy hat on because it was the 90s.
Yeah. Not a good look.
Yeah.
It was right around the same time when, I think it was right after this, right around when Purple came out.
Yeah. Well, Purple was the next album. I think it was like 2 years
later. Purple's the next album. But right around that time, I can't remember the time on exactly with that. The Crow.
Oh, yeah. Big Empty was on that soundtrack.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which that... like Crow TV commercials and everything had that song playing over it all the time.
I almost picked that song.
It's a good song.
I almost picked Big Empty, but it's fucking depressing.
It is. Part of the reason why I didn't go Alice in Chains, I was like, I'll do I Stay Away, and then we can all go and slit our wrists together.
Yay!
You know? I mean, I love Alice in Chains, but...
Oh, yeah, it's good stuff. But it's time and a place.
I gotta be in one of my heroin funks, so I'm gonna be like, all right, it's time to listen to some Rooster.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the same thing with Stone Temple Pilots. I mean, Scott Weiland was hooked on dope, so...
Yeah, but their music is a little more upbeat. Even this album, which is heavier than Purple, it's closer to the harder rock of the early 90s.
Correct.
It's still, in comparison, more radio-ready, I guess you could say. More, more not upbeat, but up-tempo. Well,
I guess, yeah, these days.
No, oh, yeah. I mean, it's got a crunchy guitar hook.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think this was a single.
This one, no. So what was the single off this album?
I think it was... It was Creep.
It was Creep.
No, or was it Plush?
I think it was both.
I think it was Creep and Plush.
Which one was Plush? Yeah, this one. This song was everywhere.
Yeah, this is Plush. Yeah.
Everywhere. Yeah. And as a matter of fact... I learned this riff. I learned how to play like 2/3 of the song guitar, and I just realized recently, researching for this, trying to think back on the fretboard and the chord progression.
Yeah.
I finally forgot how to play that song, which makes me want to go back and learn it.
Yeah.
Because it was one of the first ones I learned.
So this is Plush off of Core.
Yeah, and then this, and then the other one was
Creep.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the I mean, it's a really good song, but this is the down song on the album.
Oh yeah, it is. Yeah, it's just not. We're not going to go down that road there.
I mean, I was a big fan of Dead and Bloated and Sex Type Thing too.
Yeah, the first three songs, like that album, just starts with like Balls to the Wall, boom,
awesome.
Yeah, like in your fucking face. Yeah.
And then Purple was a great album. You know, I listened to a lot of Stone Temple Pilots in the 90s.
A lot of singles off those two albums.
Yeah.
A lot of singles.
I mean, I have Purple on vinyl, actually.
There you go.
Yeah.
So if you want to buy it off Drewster, hit him up on
Twitter.
Screw
you. You can't buy that shit off.
Hey, everyone's got a price.
That's my childhood on vinyl, buddy.
Everyone's got a price. Well, speaking of singles, this album produced 4 or 5 singles. But I'm obviously going to go with not one of those because, come on, we're all sick of those songs, aren't we? Aren't we sick of them right now?
Yeah.
A little bit of Metallica.
Yeah.
Of Wolf and Man.
Of Black Album.
The Black Album. Technically the subtitled album.
Yeah,
but it's the Black Album.
It's the Black Album.
Yeah, just like the White Album. Yeah. Isn't that the Beatles?
Yes.
Is that actually called the White Album? No, it's not, right?
No,
it's because it's white.
So. Yeah.
Which is probably why the Black Album called the Black Album.
Oh, yeah.
Play off the White Album. Put them together, you got the Gray Album. That's a Danger Mouse. Have you heard that?
It was Jay-Z.
No, Jay-Z's Black Album.
Yeah.
The Jay-Z Black Album and the Metallica Black Album together. That's double Black Album. There you go. That's the one. That's the one. Is that on Spotify? Probably not. Copyright issues. You know, money is up the water. This is Metallica of Wolf and Man.
I almost picked Metallica.
What off of this album, right?
No.
Off of Loaded?
The only... I wanted to pay homage to the only song off of the short era Metallica that I actually enjoyed.
Which was, let me guess. Track 7 off of Load, whatever track 7 is. The long song.
Hero of the Day.
Nope, that's not it.
That's the one.
That one, Hero of the Day.
Yeah, Hero of the Day.
That's the one you liked?
Or I was going to pick No Leaf Clover off of S&M. That was good.
That's right.
I mean,
that's okay.
I was surprised at how well the San Francisco Symphony Orchestra and Metallica melded.
I'm not surprised at all. At least not now.
Well, no, not now. Then I was.
At the time, it's like, oh, it's surprising. But when you think about it, classical music, the chord progressions, music, classical music. There's reasons
like
why YouTube is filled with metal kids doing classical songs on their guitars, and it's super metal. Classical music was the metal music of its day.
Yep.
You know?
They just didn't headbang to it.
Probably some people not on their heads to it. Rachmaninoff, you know. I don't know if Rachmaninoff has a Black Album under his belt where half the shit on there is like, I mean, Enter Sandman, Sad But True. Fuck Kid Rock for ruining Sad But True for me, by the way.
Oh, I know, right?
I can't hear that riff now.
He ruined both Werewolves of London and what's the Leonard Skinner? Sweet Home Alabama. Because he mixed the two.
That one doesn't bother me as much, to be honest, because I love Sad But True so much, and
Sad
I listen
True
to this album
awesome.
So much. Yeah, but he
man,
it
what
me.
Else is on that freaking album?
Oh, what, the Black Album?
Yeah.
It's Enter Sandman, Sad But True, For singles wise, Unforgiven.
Unforgiven.
Nothing Else Matters.
Nothing Else Matters.
And I think there was one more.
Yeah.
No, I think that was it.
No, there was another one.
It was those four. And they were just on super heavy rotation. I mean, four songs off one album for a single, for singles, that's intense.
It is.
And at that time, too, you know, this album comes out and...
Wherever I May Roam, that's the single.
Was that a single?
Yeah.
I don't remember that being a single. It's funny, Metallica, every album they put out after their first one, they were accused of selling out in different ways, right? So they put out Kill 'Em All, Speed Metal, early 80s with Megadeth dude, Dave Mustaine. When they put out Ride the Lightning...
They slowed it down a bit.
They didn't. Not even that they slowed it down, they added their acoustic guitar parts. The album starts with an acoustic guitar interlude, and then it kicks into the metal. People were saying right then, oh, you're adding acoustic guitars to your speed metal? You guys, you're horrible. You sold
it
out.
It fucking works.
Master of Puppets... They went with the long songs or whatever. People were like, fuck this. Injustice for All.
More of the same, actually. Injustice for All and Master of Puppets were so close.
We're pretty similar. And then Black Album comes out, and then they go down to like Metallica. 3 to 5 minute songs.
Well, yeah.
They get rid of the double bass. It's all single bass this whole album. And people are like, what the fuck? And then, of course, it gets super, super popular, so a lot of people are talking about that. And then Load, they cut their hair. People are like, what, they cut your hair and you had a slap bass?
Yeah.
You know, they keep trying to reinvent themselves. Looking back on it, it's very funny to see how the reaction to all that shit. But, yeah, that album was fucking ridiculous. The Black Album. The whole Black Album is great. I just happen to skip four of the songs because I am sick of them. That's why I don't think Wherever I May Roam... Maybe it was like the very last single and it didn't get any real traction like the earlier songs because I am not sick of that song. Whereas you still hear Enter Sandman at sporting events.
If I hear Enter Sandman one more fucking time, Chris, I'm going to shoot myself.
You hear it at sporting events. Sad but True, thanks to Kid Rock, that thing is like, I am a badass. Like, during American Sniper commercials and shit. Ridiculous.
Metallica's so good, though.
They are. They are. I mean, props. I just clicked on this one now, so I guess we might as well start talking about it.
No, right. This is this is Sublime, Bad Fish, off of the album 40 Ounces to Freedom. It is from 1993? 94? 92? From 1992!
Nice.
But yeah, Bradley Nowell, Bad Fish, off 40 Ounces of Freedom. I tried, I definitely didn't want to pick anything off of the self-titled album because that was the one that blew up and got a lot of...
The Smoke Two Joints one.
No, that was off... No, that's... Smoke Two Joints is from 40 Ounces of Freedom.
What's the other one? The anyway, yeah.
What I Got is on that one. Wrong Way, Santeria, Pawn Shop.
Right.
Most of the songs you've heard, Caress Me Down, all those songs were on the self-titled album. 40 Ounces to Freedom was a little different, you know?
What happened to this guy again?
Overdosed. Heroin.
Sad.
It's a shame.
Sad.
Yeah.
Bummer.
Yeah, but I mean, that made them even... I mean, that immortalized them.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it did.
Because
one of the bands I considered.
Because he died, and then because he died before the self-titled album came out.
Ah, there
so
you
he
go.
Didn't even get to
all the success.
He didn't get any of it.
Yeah, because he was dead.
Yeah,
it's like I almost went with. I was considering very heavily this band Snot. Some people know Snot.
I know Snot.
They have one album, really. They have two or three albums, but really, they only have one album.
Yeah.
And the singer died, I think, pretty shortly after it came out.
Mm-hmm.
And car accident.
Yeah.
What? Not even his fault, car accident. And it's a great, great album. But because he died shortly afterwards, you know, add that extra mythical status to it.
Yeah.
This is a dead world. We're never going to get anything like this again.
Correct.
And
he's dead.
And it was pretty fun. Like, good stuff.
I mean, same thing with... I mean... A lot of people, Sublime has kind of that cult following that listens to anything.
Yeah.
A lot of their stuff really isn't that good or polished because a lot of it's demos.
Yeah, admit it, people, it all sucks.
It doesn't all suck.
Most of it sucks.
But there's a lot of it that isn't very good.
Fair enough.
Yeah, but I mean, Sublime's awesome. It's definitely the 90s. Weed smoking, hanging out in the beach songs.
Definitely Definitely beach hanging.
Yeah. That's why there was a lot of Sublime playing in Sarasota.
Type of music you listen, to when it's cold. It's winter and it's cold. It's like, oh, I want to try to transport myself to
a better place. Beach during the summer. That works too.
Yeah. Or you can go literal with it. Yes, that is true. Nail on the head. Speaking of summer.
Oh, I know this song.
Off the Deftones album, around the Further second album.
And the first Matrix soundtrack.
And the first Matrix soundtrack, which came after the... A few years after. Around the Further. Yeah, Deftones. Love the Deftones.
I remember this video.
Still like it.
It's
oh, the video.
Because it's called My Own Summer, but they're on icebergs?
No, they're on shark tanks. In like the fucking Arctic.
Yeah, in the Arctic.
And they actually like flew to like horrible like Arctic place to do that shit. Yeah. And they totally like all fell in the water throughout the course of making the video. Part of the reason why I did go with the song is because of the video.
Yeah, video was awesome.
Yeah, video took it to that next. Back when videos mattered. Videos don't matter anymore.
Do they? I don't know.
Barely. Anyone can make a video and put it on YouTube. Call it a day. Know what I'm saying? Right?
Right.
Probably. Yeah. I mean, this album and the one before, Adrenaline. Mm-hmm. Almost went with 7 words off that one, but then I decided this one was the video. And
it's a different Deftones than what's around now.
Yeah, I mean, they've evolved. They've changed over the years, and you can still, even listening to like the newer stuff, there are touches of the old, the heavier guitar work.
Yeah.
Their guitarist, whose name I think is John Carpenter. Pretty sure his name is John Carpenter. He'll never give up the heavy stuff.
Yeah.
Gino, the singer, he's the one always pushing for the weird stuff in the ether.
He likes to go, yeah, very ethereal.
Yeah.
With it.
But their last couple albums I've listened to,
not bad.
A few of the songs I really like of them. The other ones, I'm like, yeah. But that 90s Deftones. And then, obviously there's White Pony, which is the seminal Deftones album, right?
Yeah, that is the one.
2000. So.
I know.
Like March 2000. Yep. Like, so a couple albums made that bubble. What was another one that was on that 2000 bubble?
There were a couple that were.
Relationship of Command.
At the drive-in.
Right on the bubble. And then I consider for a long time something off In Casino Out.
But it's not as good. Dude, Relationship of Command. That's the proto Mars Volta.
It is.
Like you.
It's radio friendly Mars Volta.
You can feel it. So right there.
2000. Yeah. Oh, and Faith No More.
Yeah.
Epic.
Mm-hmm.
88.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, 88? Yeah. Really?
Ahead of the curve.
Damn, yo. Damn. So, Deftones, I remember, this is funny, in 94-ish, whatever, a couple of my friends, I didn't get to go because I wasn't allowed to, I was a little too young.
Yeah.
Parents were like, I was under their thumb, their house, their rules, that bullshit, right? Yep. Quote, good parenting. They went to a White Zombie Pantera concert.
Oh.
It was the Great Southern Trendkill Tour, I think. And White Zombie, it was opening for Pantera.
In 1994.
I think it was 94.
Drew would have been 11 years old at the metal show.
Would you have been allowed to go?
No.
And an opening was an unknown band called the Deftones.
Ah.
And you know how they've gotten the reputation over the years of being a band that's... they have their off nights.
Yeah.
I think maybe that whole tour was an off night. Who knows? But that night was definitely
an off night
because these guys came back like, oh, this band opened up, the Deftones.
They fucking suck.
They were the worst. They said people were booing them. No. Someone threw a shoe at the dude and like he did a thing with the shoe. I guess he was talking about the singer.
Good job, Gino.
Yeah. And then White Zombie came out and
Rock's Face.
And they were awesome because that was right after their second album. And then Pantera came out. Oh, fucking
Pantera.
Which is really funny. I always connect these two things, so I'm just going to go ahead and spit it out. Pantera, home video,
mm-hmm.
Their third home video for that tour. There's a quick bit of the singer, Phil Anselmo. He's on stage, and he's talking to the crowd. He's like, listen, we're not going to have fucking We're not going to have fucking lasers. We're not going to have fucking dragons jumping out of the PA. It's just you and me. It's just us and the music, blah, blah, blah.
That sounds like Phil.
Yeah. And it was totally him. I was like, oh, that's totally the White Zombie tour. Like, talking about dragons coming out of the PA. He's like,
fucking dragons and lasers and shit. Fuck that.
So he's talking about White Zombie. That cracks me up. This is an interesting choice, I find.
This is from 1995. Green Day. It's off the album Insomniac. The name of the track is Babs Uvula Who. It's not very popular. Most people probably haven't heard it. But it's Green Day, nonetheless. I listened to a lot of Green Day in the 90s. A lot.
I mean, I listened to my fair share of Dookie.
No, I listened...
Because that album was everywhere.
I listened to Kerplunk, the album before it.
Right. What was the one with the 1,000...
1,000 to the 9 slash Smooth That Slappy Hours. That was the first album. Yeah, I listened to that. I didn't really like that one.
I had those on tape. Didn't like them that much.
Yeah. Listened to Kerplunk. Listened to Dookie.
Dookie, I love Dookie.
Listened to Insomniac. That was the album after Dookie.
I totally forgot about this album.
And then I stopped.
Really?
After that, it was over.
Just like
Insomniac was the last Green Day album I ever listened to.
And you liked it.
It's fucking awesome. I still listen to this day. The whole album. It's Green Day. It's all the same.
It is all the same.
Dookie was Dookie. You know, it had a lot of radio songs. It got them super popular. This album kind of strayed people away from them because they got a little heavier and a little more punk. With this album.
A little more aggressive with
it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, right here. I mean, when you think Green Day, you don't think... It's a little heavy for Green Day.
It's definitely the punkier Green Day.
Yeah.
It sounds more like the earlier stuff, but with more production value.
Yes.
Like, they're a little older and know what they're doing, instead of just, like, grabbing their instruments and like, let's do this.
And the album after this, Nimrod, I really didn't listen to that much.
Nimrod, I don't think I listened to that at all.
And then there was one more before they got popular again.
Before American Idiot?
I guess that was the one.
But that's the one that got turned into a Broadway play.
Yes.
That one got them fucking huge.
That one had the song.
They had never been around before. Like, oh, look, who's this new band, Green Day?
And that's the end.
It's one of those things with punk rock where, even if it's barely, that's close to punk.
Yeah.
It's almost punk.
It
helped usher in more music like it at that time, popular-wise. Offspring,
it was,
Rancid, all those bands owe a lot to Green Day.
They do.
You know, bands
Offspring,
like that.
Well, back then, I mean, Offspring, their Smash was...
Smash was huge.
Fucking punk music.
But that was after Dookie. That's what I'm saying. Basket Case and all those things. Radio.
Smash was fucking punk music. After Smash, they started going with the more, I guess, more of like a pop rock thing. Because
the songs that got popular after Smash.
Pretty Fly for a White Guy? What the fuck?
Yeah. And then they're like, oh, this is what the MTV kids want to hear. So we're going to do this over and over.
Awful.
That's where bands fuck up, man. When they don't
Smash is still an amazing album.
When they don't stay true. Wait, don't stay.
I almost picked Nitro Youth Energy off of Smash.
But I think we talked about Smash on our top five albums. Like best
Something
albums.
Like that.
Well, not necessarily top five albums, but albums you can listen to from start to finish.
No, I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about it then.
It's fucking amazing.
An album that I can still listen to that I just realized from start to finish recently in doing this was an album that when I got it at that time, I crushed it. It was one of those things where for 60 days... 45, 60 days, it was the only... It never left my Discman.
Yeah.
You know, my portable walk, my CD player. It never left it. I was just listening on loop over and over. And then my favorite songs over and over and over. And since I really couldn't even pick a song, I just went with the first song off down because I was like, fuck it. Yeah. That's how you want to start it, then that's how I'll do it. Talking about that System of a Down. It's all album.
It is. It's...
What is it?
So in the beginning...
I don't even know what it is.
It's a version of metal.
It is a little metal. It gets a little metal. It gets very heavy.
It gets really fucking metal, Chris.
I mean, it depends on your... Some people, it depends on, like those dudes that only listen to death metal might be like... But yeah, it gets fucking heavy sometimes. I mean, yeah, this is very aggressive.
It's fucking metal, dude. Listen, it's fucking metal.
But a lot of it's also in and like waltz time, like 1, 2, 3, like bump, 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 bump.
Because they're fucking weird. So maybe it's metal waltz.
Some of it is.
I'm okay with that.
Some of it is. with political messages
of sorts.
Yeah, I mean, hell, because of this album.
Yeah.
Teenage me learned about Armenian genocide.
So what? After
I was like, what? This, they killed a bunch of Armenians?
This is their second album, right?
First album. This is, and for me, it is their best one. Their second one was Toxicity.
That was the second one. I thought there was one before.
Toxicity was their second album.
See, Toxicity.
Came out 2000.
Toxicity was the album that tricked America into listening to metal.
Because of Chop Suey.
Yes. And then everybody got into these guys for some reason. They got really fucking popular.
Well, it was a really good video. Again, speaking of videos, it was a really good video, and it was a really good song, Chop Suey. That was the main single.
I'm listening to this album in its entirety, and I'm like, this is some really fucking strange metal, and America loves it.
It's a good album. Actually, most people prefer that album.
Well, it's production value.
I think so. I think I might like the slightly lower fi take to this. I mean, shit, it's Rick Rubin.
Fuck.
Yeah,
he knows what he's doing. Way too.
Rick Rubin discovered these guys.
But everybody.
They were playing in LA nightclubs.
Yeah.
He was sitting in the back room one day. These guys came out with this music, blew everyone's fucking faces off.
Yeah.
And he was like, these guys. I'm working with these guys.
Yeah, agreed.
It's a thing. The album was just so. Every song is like 2 to 4 minutes, except for like War.
Yeah.
Which I almost picked that one. But the whole album was just so aggressive and in your face, and it's got a voice.
Circus-like,
it's very distinct. Yeah, well,
it's
the energy.
There's a lack of seriousness to it, though. A lot of the lyrics are very serious,
but his
delivery and the music itself, it's so weird.
He does songs in character voices.
Yeah,
you know,
they redid the Zelda theme song. I watched them live. I watched them do that live. That was awesome.
That's pretty.
It is the Zelda theme live.
That is pretty big.
Oh, 1997.
Right around the same time?
A little album by the name of Science. This is Incubus. Now, most people may not know Incubus like this. Heavy and crazy and almost metal?
Yeah. Yeah.
But this is Certain Shade of Green off the album Science.
Definitely got that 90s metal going
for it. I love this fucking bass line. So fast. But it's old Incubus. I prefer my Incubus old. New Incubus is not very good.
I re-listened to Make Yourself. Liked it a little bit less.
Really?
It's less heavy than I remember it being.
Okay.
Went back and listened to Science. And,
oh, Science
and,
is and, infinitely heavier.
And enjoy Incubus.
Yeah.
And I just like those more.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I still like.
But I remember when Make Yourself came out.
Make Yourself
is
still
over that album
for me.
It's still good.
That was the album, and it still is the Incubus album for me.
It's still very good.
I could not tell you how many times I listened to that album back to front. I couldn't tell you.
You could have.
No, I could. I have no idea.
Tell me, Drew.
It was too many.
How many times did you tell me?
It was too many. Listen to a lot of it. I mean, I prefer old Incubus. The first song I ever heard was New Skin. I almost picked that one.
Great song. That was like, as much as this could have been a single, it was definitely played on like college radio stations.
Yeah.
I mentioned on our concerts, Crespo Disco, one of the best shows I've ever been to was on a boat.
Yeah.
That went around Manhattan Island. It was put on by a college radio station. They played New Skin a lot.
Yeah.
That was when I first heard Incubus and then saw them on that show. And then Make Yourself came out shortly after that. And then they're on like fucking 92.3.
Yeah, no, exactly.
K-Rock.
Yeah.
They're like, what?
Yeah.
These guys?
That song, Pardon Me. Well, he shaved his dreadlocks and got all fucking Anglo.
Yes. someone got to him. PR guy got to him. Yo, look, man, you're
Listen,
the looking
bro,
guy, dude.
Seriously, you shave those dreadlocks, you get a fucking sexy short haircut, bitches will love you. You'll make so much money.
He's like, can you get my brother's band a little work? We'll see what we can do. Cut the dreadlocks. We'll see what we can do. Then we end up with Hoobastank, and then you're like, I should have kept the dreadlocks.
Yeah.
So I foisted that Hoobastank upon the world. Like,
yeah, but these guys, I mean. Incubus, man.
So good.
Science is a good album.
Great album. Great album.
That was Certain Shade of Green.
Those
were my songs.
All right. Well, then I'm going to finish it out with this one because this was another one where I was just like, they really only have three albums, like three real albums. They have a couple like compilations and, you know, live things, but they really only have three albums, and I love them all start to finish. Start to finish, I love them all. So I just picked the first song off the last album because fuck it.
All right.
That's how they went out. So I'm going to start with how they went out. And that's how we're going to go out with this episode. Rage Against the Machine, right?
Yep.
Testify off of A Battle of Los Angeles. But I could have picked any song off of their self-titled. I could have picked any song off of
Evil Empire.
Evil Empire, which is probably their least popular of the three.
Yeah.
But I mean, I love that fucking album so much. So much.
That was their first album.
Evil Empire?
Right.
Second album. Because their first album was the self-titled. Yeah. That's the one with Killing in the Name. Yeah. Which is...
Dude, no.
How was that a single? Fuck you, I won't do you tell me. It was the hook. How was that a single?
Yeah,
but they did it.
It was.
But they did it.
It was.
That's amazing.
Dude, Rage... In the 90s, they were... Man.
In the 90s, during peacetime, when everyone was all like, oh, the Clinton years, this is great, lovey-dovey.
He's
all,
like, fuck the government.
Yeah, he's like, fuck everything, people. Yeah. Wait...
Wake up!
Yes, yes, screaming, literally.
Literally screaming, wake up.
Literally screaming, wake up. Yes. Pretty funny.
Yeah, I know, pretty right?
Evil Empire had the, when he pulled out the fold, on one side had all the lyrics and the liner notes.
Yeah.
The other side was a picture of books, just scattered out, half them banned books, you know?
It's like, read this stuff.
And I was like, oh, okay, yeah. Mumia Abu-Jamal, who's this guy? Okay, read about that shit. And that was back before Wikipedia. Now you can just be like, Mumia Abu-Jamal and Wikipedia that shit. And 10 minutes later, you're outraged. I had to do fucking research to find out about that guy. And I was like, what the fuck is this? But Battle of Los Angeles was their third album, their final one. And it's the one time I got a song. Again, talk about that on the live show thing where they did a David Letterman set, but instead of doing it in studio, they did it outside
on the street.
They had a stage set up on the street between the Ed Sullivan Theater and the Roseland Ballroom, which is right across the street from it. Hey Google, no man, why are you listening? I'm like, Google's listening to our conversations, yo. Google, download it like the rest of America. And and they played this and Guerrilla Radio, which were the two singles off the album. They played those two songs for the show. And then they played three songs off of the first album, including Killing in the Name, with the fuck you want to do, just tell me. And there's all these cops everywhere, and they're like, fuck, and they're in their faces.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm sure.
Oh, man.
Awesome.
I'm an impressionable teen at this point.
Rage Against the Machine.
We were all just here to have a good time, and they're inciting riot-like atmospheres.
And it's a shame that these guys went on to do audio shows, because it's so inferior.
Yeah, with Chris. It is. It's weird how that happens when... One band will break up. Look, we're gonna.
How about two bands break up?
We're bringing it all around, Drew. We're bringing it all around. It's one thing when Temple the Dog breaks up and they form two or three great bands, right? It's another thing when
two bands break up.
Great bands break up and then they mix together and then it just it's like, oh, it's like all the post Pantera stuff. It's like, no, man, nah, bro. Nah. Audioslave. It's like, eh.
Yeah. I like Chris Cornell. I like his voice, and I just don't like Audioslave.
Very distinct voice.
I keep trying to like it. I want to like it so bad. And to this day, I can't. Yeah, no. I love Chris Cornell. I fucking hate Audioslave.
Yeah, I don't fucking hate them, but...
I don't like it. It's not good.
I mean, I don't... Yeah. Yeah, I don't really like it. Which is a damn shame.
Yeah.
Bring it all back around. Big old 90s rock loop there. We didn't start with the early 90s. I know with the late 90s. It's almost like we planned it, Drew.
Yeah, actually, I was... when we were going through, I was... Mine actually didn't go chronologically. They went chronologically.
Chronologically?
They went chronologically.
You're going chronologically.
Up until Wicked Garden was at the end. But for some reason, you switched it up and put Wicked Garden number 3. So I went completely chronologically.
There we go. Yeah. Beautiful. That's how it works, people. Almost like we know what we're doing by this point. It's only been a couple years of this garbage. All right, so what have we been listening to now? Let's go out on our newest stuff. You know what? It's funny when I heard what you're listening to now. I had to chuckle a bit because it's going to go very well with what I'm listening to, actually. So tell the people what you're listening to.
This is Electric Funk. It's called On a Journey. It's actually off of the Grand Theft Auto 4 soundtrack.
Yes. Yeah, so if you know someone who played that game a lot, you have surely heard the song.
Probably. You might not even remember it, but I got the soundtrack when I got the game.
Well, so they always have good soundtracks. They always have good music.
Exactly.
But it's very, it's electric funk.
So it's exactly that, Chris. It's electric funk.
It is exactly that. It is exactly that. Well, you know what I've been listening to now?
What?
I'm a year and a half late on this, but I'm finally on it. I finally started listening, and I've been meaning to since it came out. Just, you know, I've been busy the last year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Finally got on that Daft Punk album.
Finally,
Random Access Memories. I've been listening to that.
Finally listening to that French disco.
That French disco, that electric funk, dude.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Lose Yourself to Dance is like my favorite song on there for sure. And I think this is going to be a really good two for it to go out on.
Yeah.
I think this is going to work really well. Tell people, Drew, where they can find you on the internet.
At AntiHero419, all over the internet.
And hit me up on Twitter at IamChrisCrespo. Go to ChrisCrespo.com. We appreciate it, guys. We'll be back with episode 115 this weekend.
Is that a question?
Sounds about right.
Because I don't know the answer.
Well, we're going to find the answer soon. The answer coming, Choose Your Own Adventure style, next week. Remember... We love you.
I sing the funk electric. 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 I sing the funk electric.
Lose yourself to dance. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Lose yourself to dance. Come on, come on, come on. just like the dance.